Welcome back inside the lab, people. That is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Steel and Flip. Today's episode, continuing coverage and preparation for NHL draft season. Couple of big signings out of Canada, and we have a very special returning guest on today's episode. Let's get right to it.
You're Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
You heard the music and you know what time it is. It is time for the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Steel and Flip, Thursday edition. We have a special returning guest lined up. Mr. Josh Wegman of The Score is here to discuss the upcoming season, fantasy studs, fantasy prep, and everything that you will need to make sure that you are ahead of the game for draft season. There's also a couple of big signings out of Canada today. We have Kirby Dach re-upping with the Canadiens. We also have Tim Stützle getting the bag in Ottawa. The pressure now is starting to build a little bit in Ottawa. All of a sudden, a team that was way off the radar, they have had a very good summer, and the pressure might be on. Thank you for making us your first listen every single day. Steel, you know I'm fired up. I say it almost every episode, but I am extra special, more fired up today. Special guest on, couple of big signings. The days are getting long. Let's get to it.
Yeah, this was a big day for some Canadian NHL teams in the league. Ottawa Senators and Montreal Canadiens signing some young players to their team. And I think we have to start off with the biggest signing of the day, and that's Tim Stützle signing an eight-year, $8.31 million contract to stay with the Ottawa Senators for the next years up until 2030, which is absolutely incredible. You know, I was on, salary cap friendly, looking at the Ottawa Senators lineup and all of those, on daily faceoff and everything, getting all the information I can. Just looking at how they've structured this team for the next 8 years is incredible. They have done an absolute fantastic job in the top six for sure, but even on the blue line with a couple of their draft picks. Brady Tkachuk signed $8.2 million. He's staying in Ottawa till 2028. Josh Norris, he signed for $7.95 million. He's staying until 2030. DeBrincat, he's going to get a contract next season as well. Drake Batherson signed for under $5 million, and he's there till 2027. Thomas Chabot signed for $8 million. He's there till 2028. We talked about Jake Sanderson and the potential that he can bring for this Ottawa Senators team. A great tandem in the crease with Cam Talbot and Anton Forsberg, and they still have $7 million in cap.
Yeah, good point.
Absolutely good point. Ridiculous.
That's a very interesting point about the cap space because, I talked a few times about a masterclass and being a general manager. We saw it from Brad Treliving out west. Pierre Dorion deserves a lot of props for his masterclass of being a general manager this summer. We have talked a lot about the Ottawa Senators, so we don't need to get into it in too much depth. But I think the point to be made here is, and, you said you're not fully all in on Stützle yet until you see, his first full. I saw enough last season. I understand your apprehension because I do have some lofty expectations for him. I'm throwing out, and it's before all of this buzz around Stützle over the last couple of weeks, Steele. I said 80 points a couple of weeks ago in our bold predictions back in the summer. So I'm sticking to it. Stützle is going to be an absolute stud, and clearly – the brass in Ottawa agree with me. This makes him the highest paid player in Ottawa right now, even more than Brady Tkachuk, just barely. But this is a guy who I expect big things from fantasy-wise and another great move from Dorion. But one other move that was made today, Steele, and yesterday, a little more under the radar, Kirby Dach signing. This is a player that, again, has that caliber. Top draft pick, didn't really pan out, had some injuries, but I really do like what Kent Hughes has been doing in Montreal this offseason as well. And hey, you mentioned daily faceoff. You take a look at Kirby Dach now, cemented probably on that third line, maybe an opportunity to move up to the second line. But there are some interesting fantasy pieces here in the mix in Montreal Steel, and I'm not talking about elite options, but Kirby Dach in the mix down there with Josh Anderson, Brendan Gallagher, Jonathan Drouin even. I'm intrigued, and if I'm in some keeper dynasty leagues, Kirby Dach is a guy that might be in that 40 to 50 point range that I want to keep my eye on.
I think 50 points is a little too high. You know, looking at the history he's had over the last couple of seasons, he hasn't put more up than 26 points. He hasn't even scored more than 9 goals in a season as well. So I think 50
bad injuries
points,
and on bad teams, but I hear you. No sample size.
Yeah, you know what? He played 64 games in his first year. So yeah, dealt with some injuries there. He almost played, I think he played 72 or 73 last year. So again, not a full season. It was really that 1 year when he broke his wrist or sprained his wrist in the World Juniors for Canada, for Team Canada. But you're right. You know, he was a first round draft pick. There was a lot of expectations, a high caliber player. There's been glimpses of his talent and skill level at some points with the Chicago Blackhawks. But other than that, he hasn't really jumped on that opportunity and, you know, grabbed it with both his hands. And that's why I'm a little wary about a guy like Kirby Dach. Like, I was looking at the Yahoo Fantasy Draft preseason rankings, and you've got guys like Oliver Bjorkstrand, Jared McCann, Philip Deneau, the Strome brothers, even Alex Killorn, who are ranked way below him. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised that he's getting drafted more and more. You know, looking at the percentage of what he's rostered at, he's rostered at 18%. The rest of those guys, they're in the same category, but getting drafted lower. So, you know,
interesting.
People that have done it over and over again are getting drafted lower, and I'm surprised by that.
Hey, then maybe I'm feeling that from my side of things, and I'll leave it with this. Third overall draft pick. So that's pretty high, and I'm not giving up on a guy who's 21 and also 6'4" and 200 pounds.
Yeah, fair enough.
He's a pivot with a lot of upside, and I think you're right, though. We haven't seen him seize an opportunity that a third overall draft pick you'd like to see by now, but signing in Montreal, 4-year, $13.45 million deal. The Canadians believe in him. I think he's going to get a ton of opportunity. We keep talking about that because I'd rather take risks on guys who are at least going to get a lot of opportunity. And we know Montreal is slightly improved, but they are thin up the middle and they're going to need Kirby Dach to eat a lot of minutes. That might be one of those things to keep an eye on. What for sure you're going to want to keep your eye on, our special guest coming up right around the break, Mr. Josh Wegman of The Score will be here to talk about the upcoming season, fantasy studs, sleepers, and otherwise. What you don't want to sleep on is Built Bar Puffs. If you haven't tried them yet, you need to try the hottest new flavor. It's indulgent, delicious cookie dough. Covered in chocolate, Built has done it again. Let me introduce you to your new favorite. It is the Cookie Dough Chunk Puffs. They have a light and chewy texture, real cookie dough chunks, and of course, they are covered in 100% real chocolate. They are all the joys of eating cookie dough without the hassle or guilt of making it. It's healthy for you, and it's delicious. Go to Built.com, snag a box for you and the fam. It could be the perfect treat, or it could just be that little sneaky good snack you keep in your stash spot. Late night snacks, there you go. At Built, they're always bringing the new fire flavors that are also delicious for you. So make sure you head over to Built.com and use promo code LOCKEDON15 and get 15% off your order. That's right. Go to Built.com, use promo code LOCKEDON15 and get 15% off your order.
Welcome back to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Josh Wegman from The Score. Thank you, Josh, for, you know, being back with us on the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. You know, we've been dying to get you back on since the last time, you know, a fan favorite, obviously our first guest on the show as well. So thank you so much for joining us for today's episode.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on, guys. It's great to be back on.
And I know Flip is dying to ask you a question as well of the Montreal Canadiens. Cause you know, as we know, Kirby Dach, we just talked about this, Kirby Dach signed for 4 years, $13.1 million. So I know he's dying to ask you this question. So Flip, I'll throw it right over to you.
Yeah, you know, dying might not be the word to describe it, but I am intrigued by what's going on in Montreal. And I really do think overall this summer, Josh, the Atlantic Division did improve. Red Wings, Senators, even the Montreal Canadiens, they signed Kirby Dach. And I'm just has me looking at this lineup. And I obviously think we can agree this is not good enough of a lineup to go up against some of these bigger teams in the Atlantic. But I do still see some fantasy value on this squad. And I was hoping you might talk to other than Caulfield and Suzuki, is there anyone that you might be going after? Maybe even the later rounds, Dvorak, Anderson, Drouin. Is there anybody on this squad that you might, you know, put in your back pocket for the later rounds in the draft?
Well, I think Doc is an intriguing late round flyer just based on the draft pedigree being the third overall pick a few years ago. I know his career hasn't quite panned out yet, but we see this all the time when young guys who are highly touted change organizations and then something clicks. So he's worth a late round flyer. And then I think the contract itself is a pretty good gamble for the Habs, being only at $3.3 million. You know, they can, if it doesn't pan out, they can get rid of that. So he's a guy I'd target in the late rounds. Obviously, yeah, Caulfield's going to be, I think he's going to score some goals this year. I don't know necessarily if Slafkovský makes the team, but obviously he'd be a good, great dynasty or keeper league stash in the late rounds.
Yes, for sure. And I do think, you know, up front is where you're going to be finding a little bit of value. This blue line is a little bit ragtag. I think the back end, I think Jake Allen and Sam Montembeau see a lot of rubber this season. And I don't think that means good things for either of those guys' numbers. I wouldn't be looking at either of those guys as options unless you're in a deep keeper or dynasty league. Josh, before I throw it back to Steele for a couple of questions, I want to head out west, where I think it's been probably the busiest market in Canada, at least this offseason. Calgary making a ton of moves, clearly. Edmonton, though, going into this season, I think the deserved favorites for that division. How much are you looking forward to this Battle of Alberta? Because I know, just from a fan standpoint, side point fantasy, that this is going to be a rejuvenated and spicy Battle of Alberta.
Oh, man, it's going to be absolutely epic. I mean, the Battle of Alberta has been absolutely fantastic the last few years. And you know what's going to make it even better this year is Edmonton going back to their proper 80s style uniforms. So that'll make it just perfect now. But yeah, I'm really, you have to like what Calgary's done this offseason. Obviously, Brad Treliving was dealt a tough hand, losing Gaudreau in free agency and then Tkachuk wanting out, but he's rebounded very nicely. They are kind of old, so I think they have a window of 2 or 3 years to win here, and then things could get pretty ugly. But the team's really competitive right now. Love the Kadri addition, and obviously Huberdeau can still put up points, and Uyghur's a really sneaky add on the back end. So
yes,
I think they're even better for this year than they were last year. But in the long run, they'll suffer a bit more because of some of those long-term deals might not necessarily age well, and they don't have a ton coming through the pipeline.
Yeah, for me, what really excites me about the Battle of Alberta too, and I know there's obviously the grit and the physical aspect of, you know, those two teams going at one another, but it's honestly the skill level that has really improved from my perspective, you know, on both sides, you know, re-signing Evander Kane, Zach Hyman, they get Jack Campbell in the net as well. And like you, like to your point as well, Jonathan Huberdeau and Kadri, no players to slouch on whatsoever. And Mackenzie Weegar is a very sneaky blue liner too that can jump up offensively. So I'm excited for the skill level that the Battle of Alberta brings as well. And hopefully, I already told Flip this too, but I'm hoping to get to the first game of Battle of Alberta October 14th in Calgary. So crossing my fingers, hopefully I can get some tickets on the drive out to Vancouver, but I'm excited for that too.
Hey, if you can get to that game, we might do a live broadcast. We'll bring Josh on. We'll do a live reaction show because that's going to be a great series. It's going to be two good teams to farm some amazing fantasy talent off of. Mackenzie Weegar is going to be a player that I just think with increased opportunity is going to have increased good fantasy production this season. Josh, I want to talk about the Metro Division super quickly before we go to break. We have a couple other questions for you after we come back, including Josh is going to hit us with his top three sleeper picks heading into this season. I need to know about that. But I also want to know about who you think comes out on top in the Metro, because I immediately have a look at this division and I struggle to figure out who it's going to be. Obviously, Rangers, Carolina, they seem to be the two consensus picks. But who are you looking at, you know, fantasy or otherwise, as the team in the Metro this season? Is Freddie Anderson going to be able to get it done all season long for Carolina? That's my concern.
I do like what Carolina did in the offseason. And I know Pacioretty tore his Achilles, so he's going to miss some time. But I really liked that addition. I mean, they basically got him for free. Same with the Brent Burns addition. again, the acquisition cost was basically nothing. So I do like what Carolina did. I know they brought in Paul Stastny too for pretty cheap. Those are some nice moves. I still think Pittsburgh is really good. I mean, they kept the core together, right? They even re-signed like Raquel and Rust too, yep. aside from just Malkin and Letang. But Rangers look really good. I would probably guess the Rangers are the team to beat in the Metro with Shesterkin, but it's going to be a dogfight and it'll be really exciting.
Yeah, the New York Rangers are the team that I had winning the Metropolitan Division, as well as just the NHL overall. I had to have them winning the President's Trophy. So that's the team I've got making the Stanley Cup Finals this year from the Eastern Conference. Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. Don't forget, we are free and available on all podcast platforms, which also includes YouTube. So please hammer the subscribe, hammer the follow button. And thank you so much for tuning in for today's episode with Flip and I and our special guest, Josh Wegman. Let's get back right into the conversation. Let's talk about some of the Flip. You want to talk about some sleeper picks right now, some sleeper vets?
I want to get to the sleepers because it's always at this time of year, and you know Josh knows this better than most. You probably get asked these questions the most. How can a GM get a leg up on the other with doing the minimal research? One of those ways is listening to this podcast, following Josh on Twitter. All good ideas. But before we get there, Steele, I want to talk about one more Atlantic team that I think has a lot of very intriguing fantasy options and on the bubble options as well, in the Detroit Red Wings. Because I really do think that's another team with the additions of Ville-Husso, Andrew Kopp, David Perron. All of a sudden, you know, I have concerns about this team's back end. But all of a sudden, Josh, there are some very interesting fantasy options here. Lucas Raymond, Dylan Larkin, Tyler Bertuzzi, bounce back candidate in Jakub Vrána. I just want to get your take on overall these players that I just mentioned. Is there someone you're looking at? And do you think they have enough to be a playoff, maybe bubble wild card team? Lots of good teams in this Eastern Conference. Some are going to get left out.
I do really like what Detroit did this offseason. I don't think they're quite ready to be that playoff team. I think the Atlantic is just too strong with Tampa, Toronto, Florida, Boston still. And even I think Ottawa is probably still a step ahead of Detroit in their build right now. But again, I do like what they did. And from a fantasy perspective, all those guys they brought in, veterans like Perron and Husso, and there's another forward I'm blanking on. Kopp, that's it. Yeah. I think that those additions will just help cement Moritz Seider as one of the top fantasy defensemen.
Yeah.
Given the talent he has offensively, and if you're in the leagues with hits and blocks, he racks those up too. So I think this should make you even more comfortable with trusting Seider as one of the top defensemen. And guys like Dylan Larkin, he should be able to build on another strong year he just had. And a guy you mentioned, Vrána, a lot of people like him as a bit of a sleeper pick. I know he's kind of a goal per 60 darling. So we'll see if that can extrapolate if he's able to get bigger minutes.
Love me some extrapolation. I also love me some sleeper picks. Unless Steele has another question for you, I'm ready to put you on the hot seat and hear what you have to say about some of these under-the-radar type players that you're looking at. You ready to go there, Steele?
Well, yeah, just real quick. It actually kind of relates to that question as well. But, you know, Flip and I were talking about some of the gambles and some of the risks you can take later in the rounds on, you know, some older vet players or maybe some rookies as well heading into the season. Yeah. What would you do later in the rounds? Is it more, you know, reliable to go with a player that's on the older side but has gotten the job done time and time again, or take that chance on a rookie who's just, you know, he's just cracked 30 points in his first season but shows that potential of maybe getting to 50 or 55?
I really prefer to target the younger players and not necessarily the rookies, but maybe a second or third year player who's on the cusp of breaking out. You know, the older players, they can be safer, but I think if you're targeting more younger players near the end of your draft, you have a better chance at hitting a home run. And I think that's what you're looking for at that point. Cause chances are, if you pick up a vet late in the draft, he's a guy you're just going to end up dropping and replacing anyway. So I like to go for the upside late in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. And I honestly tend to even go with a rookie who might not be on a better team, might not put up as many points projected wise, but has that opportunity to eat a ton of minutes just by de facto. Case in point, Matty Beniers this year in Seattle. He's going to have a ton of opportunity to be that guy up the middle. He is going to get that look for minutes and otherwise. So there's a name that you definitely could take a flyer on later in your draft. Looks like that kid's got what it takes to perform at the NHL level. Speaking of which, Josh, and thank you again so much for joining us today. Like I said before, don't sleep or slip. Follow Josh on Twitter. Check him out at the Score app, on the NHL feed, on the regular with the Fire content. We appreciate you jumping on today, Josh. But to wrap it up, sleepers, I need your top three because I'm going to be probably drafting at least one or two of them so that if they do not do well, I'm going to text you and you're going to get that heat. But let me hear some sleepers that you are taking a look at that our listeners might want to also consider this year.
All right. Number one, I got Alex Newhook on Colorado.
Yes,
there
sir.
Is a, and that this is a pretty deep sleeper. I don't think he's going to be on too many radars unless he starts lighting it up in training camp, but
love it.
There's a gaping hole at second line center. Obviously Kadri left. I thought they would be a team to replace him with like a Paul Stastny, who we just mentioned went to Carolina because he started his career in Colorado. I thought that would have been a fit, but they didn't really bring in any type of veteran for that spot. I think JT Compher is projected to start there now, but you know, Compher, very solid player and all, nothing against him, but he's been in the league a few years now. We almost kind of know what he is. I know there can be late bloomers, but there's just a lot of upside with Newhook. So if he can take that second line center job and run with it, and I know Colorado, past couple of years, they like to split up either Landeskog or Rantanen from McKinnon. Mm-hmm. So one of them is on the second line. So say, hey, Newhook's on a second line with Lekkonen and Rantanen. That could be some pretty good company if he can take that job. And he's a really fast, skilled, exciting player. He fits in really well with what Colorado does. So I like Newhook a lot.
Hey, I think Steele and I both can agree with that one. Yeah. Sorry to cut you off, just because that one excites me very much, Josh, because he was on my list of breakout players this year. I might be a year ahead on the breakout, but his speed and his skill, good Newfoundlander boy, and the opportunity and everything you said checks out. So thank you. I'm going to shut my mouth now. Please hit us with your second and third.
All right, number two, I got Seth Jarvis in Carolina. He had a pretty good rookie year last year. I think it was 17 goals, 40 points in 60 or 70 games. But towards the end of the year, he really started to mesh well on a line with Aho and Svechnikov. So I would imagine he starts the year there. And, you know, they lost Niederreiter and Pacioretty's out for a while to start the year. So there's going to be some opportunity. I think he'll probably get some power play one time. I think he only averaged 13 or 14 minutes a game last year, but that could really go up. And again, this is just a highly skilled, highly intelligent forward with a great opportunity ahead of him.
Love it as well. He was on my list as well, Josh. Thank you. Please finish it off because even at this point, I'm just absolutely loving your selections. And they were definitely worth a look for anyone out there listening for some under the radar targets. Let's hear your third.
Number three, I got Cole Sillinger in Columbus. This is a guy who was picked, I think, 11th or 12th overall last year, but played a full 82-game season as a rookie, as an 18-year-old, and he did not look out of place. You know, the production wasn't anything crazy, but when you're coming to the league that young, you're really focusing on the defensive side of your game. So now going into year two, maybe there's a chance there to play between Goudreau and Laine. I know, I think Boone Jenner is projected to start in that spot, which is smart, you know, a more veteran who can just play defensively and let those guys go to work offensively. But obviously there's going to be some shuffling at some point, and Sillinger would be the likely guy, in my opinion, to move up between Goudreau and Laine on that top line. And that's just some excellent real estate. And again, Sillinger, really mature player for his age. He can put the puck in the net. He just does a lot of the little things right, and I think he could really shine if he gets that opportunity.
You absolutely also love to see that poise at that age because point production can always come. You can't teach clutch. You can't teach the poise, and it seems that those, even those high pressure situations, he was getting some, you know, some important minutes last year as an 18-year-old for the Columbus Blue Jackets. Maybe some of that by default because of their lineup at times, but that does not take away from his ability this season to be one of those sneaky sleeper, maybe breakout candidates. Josh, I absolutely love your list. I love your content. Please make sure you check out Josh on Twitter and on the Score app. This is the kind of content you want to be checking out. Josh, thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you'll do it again soon. Go Bills, go. Big game tonight. Let's see what happens this season.
All right. Thanks for having me on, Flip. Always a pleasure. Happy to come back on anytime. I really appreciate it. And yes, go Bills.
Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. But for your second listen, please go check out Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. It's free and available on all platforms. So make sure you're subscribing and following. As well, following and subscribing to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast, tuning in to every single episode. Again, we want to thank Josh Wegman for hopping on for today's episode and giving us some insight into this upcoming season. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode as well. Have a great day. Good luck with all your bets out there, and we shall see you back here again tomorrow.
Peace.